Welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jacqua. I'm the content director of Whole Foods Magazine. And my co-host, as always, is Todd Polly of 24 Stories Marketing. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm good. And I'm excited because we have a great guest today. We're going to dive into some great science. We have George Kokinas. Welcome, George.
Hey, thank you. Welcome.
Hi, George.
So George is the technical director and co-founder of Pharmaco Biotechnologies. And he's invented a number of technologies that are used in Pharmaco's products. And he coordinates the technical aspects of Pharmaco. He's really interested in new delivery technologies and advanced manufacturing methods. So he's going to get us up to date today on some of the latest science and the latest innovations. So let's start just by finding out a little bit more about Pharmaco. Can you tell us about the company and what you guys do over there?
Sure. Pharmaco began in 2015, so we've got a fairly short history, but we've been in the industry for myself. I've been over 30 years now. So we started Pharmaco with the thought that we wanted to do something different and bring some of the pharmaceutical technologies to the nutraceutical world. You know, so. At the time when we started, bioavailability and pharmacokinetics, etc., they were words that were unheard of, you know, to some degree, you know. So it's great to see that it's moving forward, you know, and people are understanding more and more, and not only the marketers but the consumers as well are starting to understand now that whatever you put in your mouth basically doesn't make it to where you need it to go for it to have an effect, you know, not always. And especially with the natural medicines, it's even harder for them to have an immediate effect, so to say.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You're back in 2015, as you started this idea, and as you noted, the market is coming along. So it seems like you're timing this correctly. In general, starting a new technology such as that and coming to this large market, it can be pretty competitive. I'm wondering how you guys continue to evolve as a young company and stay ahead of that competitive
atmosphere. Yeah, look, I think you always have to continue. You can never stop. You see with a lot of companies in multiple industries, you know, they'll come up with an innovation, they'll become super popular, but then they don't do anything after that, you know. So I think the key is to continuously pour money and time and effort into research, you know, and continuously do more, take it to the next level, because there's always a next level.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we were all just at Supply Side West in Las Vegas in October, and that was a great show. We saw lots of innovation there, and Todd and I will talk later breaking down some of the trends. Todd, we have to catch up on that. But
yeah, true.
One of the things I noticed is I heard the word experiential so many times. And a lot of companies were talking about that being something that consumers really want out of a product. But the problem is that, you know, consumers buy a supplement, they want that, they want to notice benefits. And if they don't, they can say, well, supplements don't work. It didn't work for me. I didn't feel anything. And I know something that you touched on a little bit is bioavailability comes into play there, right? And that might be something that consumers don't fully understand. So can you talk to us a little bit more about bioavailability and consumer expectations and the importance for brands to be focusing on this?
Sure. Look, there's two classes of I'll call them chemicals, okay, or ingredients, okay. Now, pretty much every ingredient is either a single chemical entity or it's a multiple chemical entity, you know. So in our industry, the vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids, etc., they're single chemical entities. The herbal extracts are more complicated and they're multiple chemical entities. There's two categories of those, you know. One is the lipophilic and the other is the hydrophilic. So hydrophilics are chemical compounds that like water, they dissolve in water, And they're generally absorbed fairly well by the body. The lipophilic ones are the more interesting ones. They're a bit more complicated. They're fat soluble. They hate water. And whenever you read a lot of the studies, they're the ones that are interesting, that have interesting effects on various conditions. Okay, but it's always comes down to they can't get absorbed by the body. And the body does that on purpose, you know, because a lot of those lipophilics can be toxic. Okay, they accumulate in the liver, and they can cause issues in the liver and elsewhere. Whereas the hydrophilic ones, they go straight into the body, through the kidneys, and out of the body fairly quickly. So they don't accumulate. With the technologies that we've developed, we look at more so the lipophilic ones because they're the more interesting ones. And they're the ones that require a bit of help to get them into the body. I'll give you some simple examples there, like vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K. They're all lipophilic substances, you know. So the body only needs quite a small amount of those vitamins to have an effect. Whereas vitamin C, vitamin B, all of those chemical entities, they're a lot easier for the body to absorb because they're hydrophilic. So concentrating on the lipophilics, you've got to do quite a bit of trickery to get the body to understand that it can take this in now. But not only can it take it in, it can deliver it to the part of the body that requires that substance, you know, to have an effect. And that's where we're concentrating on. It's a bit of engineering in the micro world.
Well, since you brought up engineering and we've been talking about science this whole time, let's take just a second and break it down for the marketing person in the room here who doesn't understand those areas whatsoever. From a consumer standpoint, and you mentioned some, you know, very common vitamins that everyone's familiar with. What has that meant historically from a bioavailability issue standpoint? Does that mean, you know, does that mean some of the supplements that folks are taking, some of the vitamins they're taking haven't been as bioavailable in the past? That what's that mean for them? Does that mean they're not getting all the nutrients, or there's a risk they're not if they're not treated properly or formulated properly?
Sure. Look, the main focus for the body is it deals in molecules. Okay, so you've got your cells in your body. They're going through thousands of different chemical reactions in there and doing different things continuously. So the only currency that they understand is a molecule of something. Now. To get that molecule through the gut into the bloodstream, avoid your immune system, your immune defenses, and get it to a cell for that molecule to be able to do something to that cell, is quite a big feat. It's quite a big challenge. So you know, the stomach is harsh to start with. Your bloodstream has got all these macrophages and whatever other, you know, cells trying to mop up any foreign bodies, etc. So trying to, whatever you ingest, you're only getting a fraction of that to the spot where it needs to go to have an effect. Okay. And when I say a fraction, it's sometimes it's single digit percentages, you know, so extremely low. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the breakthrough? So Pharmaco has helped for this, right? Can you tell us about
Well, look, we looked at the different types of active ingredients based on their physical properties. And then we developed systems that help them generally disperse in water. So we sort of converted them from being extremely hydrophobic to becoming hydrophilic. And by doing that, we're allowing the body to go through its normal digestive process and take more of those nutrients in. Now, in some cases, we're talking about nutrients. You know, curcumin is a classic example where it's a substance that if you look at database libraries like PubMed, there's about 1,500 clinical studies on curcumin a year. You know, so. The reason there is so much interest is because it is an interesting molecule and it affects many different things. But it all works on the bench in the lab. It all works in the Petri dish, in the test tube. But when somebody takes it, they've either got to take 3 or 4 tablespoons of curcumin, you know, to have an effect. And that's daily, which is quite impossible. Or we can help it along and get it to absorb into the body and have an effect with much smaller doses and more immediately as well.
So this technology, is it something that works in theory for all supplements or is there, you know, you were talking about the groups before of nutrients. Can you explain the
range? Yeah, well, the first differentiation is it hydrophilic or lipophilic? You know, so if it's lipophilic, then most of our technologies kick in. We do have a technology for hydrophilics as well, because although they're absorbed around 100%, they're still not getting to that target area that I was talking about earlier, you know, so you've got to help them get to that target area. But anyway, looking at the lipophilics, you can have a solid, you can have a liquid. So a liquid can be your standard fish oil type supplements, whereas a solid can be your curcumin, your quercetin, those type of ingredients. So you got to develop different systems to help the different formats that these ingredients come in.
So can we talk a little bit at the session that I attended that you hosted and spoke at? You talked about the liposome-based encapsulation. Can you talk about some of the opportunities, the benefits of that, and the opportunities for brands who are interested in that?
Sure. Look, liposomes are at the forefront of technology. Okay, so where the other technologies work in the micron region, liposomes are at the nano region. Okay, and what that means is think of a thickness of a hair. Cut that thickness into a million pieces. Okay, and then take 50 of those pieces. That's the size of a liposome. Okay, so extremely tiny, and they're so small that they can travel in between cells. So barriers like your skin, for example, they can get through that because they're so tiny. But it also works in the mouth as well and in the stomach. So what you generally do is you encapsulate the active ingredient into this liposome. And if you remember before, I was talking about, you know, cells like to deal in molecules, you know, so the smaller you can get, the less molecules you have in that ball, but now that's enough to deliver it directly to the cell. Okay. And because these micelles, are made of a membrane which mimics the membrane of your cells in your bodies, as soon as these liposomes hit a cell, they incorporate their payload into the cell. So it's what we call targeted delivery. And with this sort of system, you can reduce your dose even further. So yeah, traditionally these systems were developed in the pharmaceutical world for anti-cancer drugs, you know, and it was purposely made so that you could reduce the dose, but then also target it to the cancer cells, which then reduces all the symptoms, you know, apart from making it work much better, it reduces all the symptoms as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know there are, as I understand it, some pitfalls to be avoided here. For example, I know there are some brands that ran into, or they're flagged for label claims because of some of the issues with the liposomes being on the label or not being on the label. Can you explain that whole, and maybe some other pitfalls you have to think about?
Look, because they're so tiny, you can't use traditional methods that you would normally use in the lab to characterize them. Okay, so there's a whole raft of equipment that has been developed especially for this category of medicine, basically. And of course they're expensive equipment it's not only expensive, but they require very specialized operators, basically. So the two main things to try and look at and measure with liposomes, again, because they're so tiny, they're beyond the wavelength of light. So you can't use a normal microscope to look at them. If you did put it on a slide under a microscope, you would see absolutely nothing. But with an electron microscope, you can start seeing some structures and seeing what you've engineered. To verify that you've got that spherical structure, you've got to use an electron microscope. Now, they're pretty much reserved for universities and those type of organizations, you know, because they are super expensive, they're super delicate, they require very specialized operators, et cetera, et cetera. The other measure is what we call zeta potential. Now, zeta potential is a electrical potential. It's the electrical charge of the whole sphere, okay, in water. Now, the higher your zeta potential is, the more stable your spherical structure is. The lower the zeta potential, the more unstable it is. And if it is unstable, what that means is it can still get absorbed by the body, but it gets taken up by the macrophages quite quickly and easily. So it doesn't remain in circulation in your body for long. Whereas with the higher zeta potential, the more stable the structure remains, and the longer it stays in the bloodstream, because the macrophages now recognize it as not a foreign body, so they look at it as a normal cell in the body and they leave it alone, which then increasing its time in the bloodstream allows it to get to where you need it to get to and do its job. Yeah, sorry if I'm going a bit too fast.
No.
Oh, interesting.
But it's a complicated topic.
Yeah,
no, you explain it well, though. It breaks it down. So I'm just wondering, like, on the horizon, what else do you see? What other opportunities, trends? I mean, you guys are definitely on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
What else should brands be in the know on?
Look, there's the technology has been developed much further than what we're doing at the moment. So what we're doing is really an introduction, you know. But in the process, it's helping these ingredients work better and faster, you know. So curcumin, for example, we're getting people saying, my joint pain is gone, and you know, it's happened within days rather than months, you know. So it's they're the effects that you want to have. But yeah, in the university world, you know, I've seen liposomes where you'll ingest it, and they'll apply some ultrasound or a magnet to a particular part of your body, and that helps the liposome fall apart and deliver its payload in that particular part of the body. So you can be extremely targeted, you know, to the nth degree. I don't know if you had it in America, but there was a cream, and it was from one of the big cosmetic houses. But they gave you this magnetic wand that went with the cream. And that's what that was. It was one of these liposomal technologies that you know, you put it on your wrinkle, but then you would apply the magnet to it to help it dissolve the liposomes and get the active through.
Interesting. I don't think I've seen it. Have you seen it?
I haven't. That's very cool. And I feel like I'd be interested. I wonder if consumers are, you know, maybe it was ahead of its time if it was here. And
I think so. Yeah. Because yeah, people were wondering, well, why do I need a magnet for, you know?
Right.
But yeah, there was valid reason for it.
Interesting. So more educational, help people understand this, like removing.
Yeah, you can see now, especially in the cosmetic world, there's a lot of these micellar lotions or cleansers or whatever. So they're starting to move in that direction. They're also starting to educate the consumer as well. Our industry is lagging a bit, but it's growing, and you can see every show you go to, whether it's in Europe or America, all of these delivery systems are becoming more and more prominent.
From a formulator or brand standpoint, as they walk up to you at a show and you're talking about this amazing technology, what are one or two of the things that you hope they walk away from the booth at, or you know, you're on a call with a potential customer that they take away? What are a couple of those things?
Look, what we see sometimes is people walk away with their head spinning, you know, and they don't know what to do, you know, because you've just bombarded them with all this whole new world.
Sure.
And they're like, what do you mean they don't work? They don't get absorbed, you know?
Yeah.
So for them, it's a bit of a epiphany, you know. and they go back to their offices or labs and start thinking, okay, how can I use this? And that's where we come into the equation, in that every ingredient, every client, and every consumer, they're all different. You know, so you can't say here's a one size fits all. So we generally tailor the solutions to the client's requirements.
I see.
Yeah, so, and we help them go down that path, basically.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. Well, we'll have, you know, we'll link this to your website so people can reach out for more information. Of course, there's more on there with the science and some of the things you guys are offering, so people can do a deeper dive and follow up with you for more information. Anything else you want to leave us with before we say our goodbyes?
No, I think I've bamboozled you enough.
Oh, it's fascinating stuff. And it's really cool to be talking about something, you know, in early stages that could potentially affect so much of the industry in terms of delivery formats. So really interesting.
Yeah. Well, the good thing to note is that there isn't any magical ingredient that hasn't been found yet. You know, they're all out there. You just got to make them work.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great point. All right, George. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And a few years from now, we'll be like, oh yeah, that we all know now.
That's right. We'll have you back on to celebrate.